Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Digital Audio Health by Cymatrax.
Welcome to the Rhonda Grant Show with your host, Rhonda Grant. If you believe that there is more to life than what you see right now, and you want to find out more, listen in as her guests share their journey and their extraordinary experiences. Now, here is your host, Rhonda Grant.
Welcome to the Rhonda Grant Show. Sometimes the universe has a way of placing people or obstacles in your path to help guide and direct you on your mission. Listen in as we discover the path my guest has traveled. Has she been inspired by a calling, crafted her journey, or a bit of both? I invite you to embrace the conversation and to use it to help you to recognize if this is happening in your life. Our guest today is Jacqueline Tuasi Odije, and her family and friends call her a queen of problem solving because her birth name, Tuasi, means problem solver and home builder. Jacqueline's company is JA Coaching for Harmony and is a relationship rescue coach, helping individuals and couples who argue and constantly fight over their lack of understanding of self and each other create harmony and awaken their bodies, hearts, and minds to return intimacy and peace to their personal and professional relationships. Once they do, they enhance all aspects of their lives and darkness flees before their light. Her big, hairy, audacious goal is to help at least 1,000 individuals and couples awaken their bodies, hearts, and minds by walking them through the initial steps to unlock their hearts, rise in love, and return intimacy and peace to their relationships by 2025. As someone who once walked in her client's shoes, she's committed to being authentic, listening with passion and compassion, and delivering value and the expected outcome for all individuals and couples who seek her help. Welcome to the Rhonda Grant Show, Jacqueline.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So, would you like to let the audience know where you were born and raised?
Yes. First, thank you for having me here. I'm so delighted to be here on the first month of the year. So you opened the door so hard to me. Yeah, I was born in Cameroon, in the village of called Bankonji, in the west part of Cameroon. And I grew up in Cameroon, and in 1991, I moved to the U.S. with my family, and I have been here ever since. So I live in the U.S. currently. I have 5 children and 3 grandchildren.
Nice.
Yes. So, the grandchildren are not in the U.S., but all of my children are grown up now. So, I only see the grown up at home.
Yes. Yeah. And so you had some rough patches there for a little bit before you ended up actually doing what you're doing. And so do you want to sort of describe to us what that was like for you and when you decided to do something different in order to help your situation?
When I grew up in Cameroon, I didn't have, I had to drop out of high school because of lack of support, financial support for my education. And I dropped out of high school. And I remember one thing that when I dropped out of high school, my father said to me, he looked at me when I told him that I was dropping out, because I was having a lot of difficulty with paying my tuition. And my father has 13 children, and I was one of the 13, and he didn't have any income. I say he didn't, because he's not here anymore. He passed away. So I made that decision, and I told him, and he said to me, "You have to stay in school, even if I have to sell my last underwear to pay for your education, I will do it." And I knew that my father didn't have that last underwear to sell, and even the one that he had, if he had to sell it, nobody would buy it. So I said to my dad, I promise you, it's my life. Don't worry. Whenever I have the opportunity, I will finish my education. So what happened is that my dad, when he was saying, I will sell my underwear, it was just to encourage me to stay, because among the 13 children that he had 14, but one passed away. Among the 13 children, I was like a guarantee for him, because for the parent that live in the rural community and mm-hmm. do not have any steady income, they send their children to school so they can become their financial well-being when they get old. They will become their social security, their insurance, their income, everything to support them when they're old. Yes. So my father saw that in me, and because I was one of the 13 who didn't repeat class. So repeating class is a lost investment to parents over there, you know. Yes, that's why when people ask, I read all this literature and people say, parents don't want their girl to go to school. That wasn't my own experience. My father wanted me to stay in school, but because of lack of financial support, I have to drop out because I was going through a lot of difficulty. I came to the point that I was coerced to exchange sexual favor for school supply. And at that point that I said, no, I won't go to that point to reduce myself to that level because my parents are poor. The best way for me is to drop out. Thankfully, we moved to the United States.
Yes.
While raising my five children, first I was raising four children when I went back to school, and I got pregnant with the fifth one. I went back to school here, starting in college. You know, I started my higher education here, and I finished with my master degree. So. And it's at that point that I decided that I have to help the other girls that are behind, that are left behind, and they're still going through the same struggle that I went through. I must start a nonprofit that I can provide them support to those girls. And I started the nonprofit while I was still doing my master's degree. Mm-hmm. I started the nonprofit. The initial goal of the nonprofit is to build the school, because I said if I have to move from the village to the city to study, and I was far away from my parents and all the difficulty that I encountered, just being because I have to move at age 8, because there weren't any school that could support me. And my father saw that I was so smart and so intelligent. Mm-hmm. He said the best way is to send me where I will have that opportunity to advance my education. And all the difficulty that I encountered along the way, I say if I have stayed with my parents, maybe that could be, imagine an 8 years old child, you have to move away from your parents. And not knowing what to expect at the other end of the road.
Right.
So that's why I say if we start Because at this point, there is already the boys' school, there is middle school in the village, mm-hmm. but no high school. But the girls were moving to the city to continue the education, and none of them was finishing the education. So I set myself up to start building a school. That was in 2005. And we started we laid down the foundation of the school. We built one building already, and we continued because we couldn't find money to support the education, the construction of the school. So we found a way to go around that. And in 2016, we started a tutoring program and a scholarship program, so the girls that are in the middle school can advance their education. Because in Cameroon, there are fees for education. Mm-hmm. So you don't just go and sit in, like here in the U.S., education is free here. But in Cameroon, you have to pay for everything. So we started the tutoring program first to help the girls pass the high school entrance exam. In Cameroon, you have to pass the high school entrance exam to advance to high school. We started to help them, and then we saw when they succeeded, because parents in the village, they didn't have any expectation that the girls will even move forward. When I came in to do this feasibility study, and I said to the parent, we're going to help your girls move forward. And they laughed at me. They were so skeptical. They said, yeah, those girls, we get to spend money on them, and they end up coming home and sit in the kitchen with their mother. And I say, I'm going to change that. I will change that trend. I ask them, do you trust me? They say, we see, we're going to see. So the first year, when we went from a 25% success rate to a 45%, the village was, it was like a holiday in the village. They were so surprised. Wow. So, and they started to trust me. But they came to me and they said, now that you solve one problem, you created the other one.
We don't have what was the other problem?
To have the money to support them in high school. We don't have money to move them to high school. So I came back here and I talked to my board, and we decided to create a scholarship program to support the girls. And to date, we have graduated 30 girls already, and 10 of them already finished high school. So that's
wonderful.
Yeah.
What a blessing you have been to those women.
Great blessing, really. Great blessing for those who are helping me, because it's I can't do this alone. And I have help along
the way. No, we can't do it alone, but we need that leader. And you are the leader.
That's true. Mm-hmm. That's true. Thank you for that.
Yeah, because it's the person. I mean, there's their workers, and then there's the leaders, right?
Exactly.
So where are you with the school right now? Are you each year you're bringing more and more children into the school?
More and more, our school is not yet built. We haven't finished. We haven't completed the building, the construction of the school.
Right.
We only have one building there, and so we can't open the door yet, because we could turn that one building into a classroom, and that's what we did. But now it's the financial struggle that we're facing, that we can't go any further, because for the organization, we turned 18 this year, and we don't have funding. We're running the organization on shoestring. And so that's why my business of coaching that I'm doing now, every profit goes to support this program.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, every profit goes to support this program.
Mm-hmm.
And with other individual donors that are supporting us along the way.
Right.
Yes.
Beautiful, beautiful. So your coaching, tell the audience about your coaching and how you ended up starting your coaching business.
Yes, thank you for that. The coaching, I got the inspiration from this nonprofit, because when I started the nonprofit, I thought I was just helping the girls. And I was helping the girls. Mm-hmm. But I felt like a fraud, because while I was doing this work, my relationship was falling apart. And initially, I thought by doing the work and being among other people, other professionals, I will curtail my relationship issue. That will help me forget about my relationship issue.
Mm-hmm. And this, you're speaking about your relationship with your husband?
My husband, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, I was having my relationship with my husband was falling apart. And I did everything that I could because I didn't want to continue with the train, with all the struggle. I wanted the struggle. Like every relationship we have, we encounter a difficulty. Mm-hmm. But man, I didn't know how to resolve it. We went to we consulted different professional, but nothing was working, nothing, to the point that I was exhausted. And that's the only way out for me, I thought, was divorce. Right. And I went so far as to call a divorce lawyer to ask if I can get some help through that route. And the divorce lawyer said to me, you have to put down 5,000 retainer before I can start talking about your case.
Oh.
And that said, hearing those words were like they hit me like a ton of bricks. Not because I couldn't pay the 5,000. I could pay the 5,000. I was ready to do everything to resolve the issue. But I had to take a step back. It was a catalyst for me to take a step back and say, no, there must be a better solution than divorce. So, and I thought, so I have to pay $5,000 to destroy what we have built for 27 years. At the time, I was married for 27 years. And I look at my children and I say, isn't that selfish to take that action for yourself and then destroy everything that you built? What about your children? It's at that point that I say, no, I'm determined to look for a real solution. And I don't know if there is any, but I know that somewhere out there must be somebody who can help me.
Okay.
And coincidentally, at work, I have difficulty, business difficulty. And my colleague refer a coach. She suggested to see a coach. I didn't know that there were coaches for a relationship issue. I thought coaches were only in the football field.
Yes.
Yes, that's what I knew. That's what I knew at the time.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I took a bite and I went to see that coach. I didn't have any expectation.
No, how could you? Yeah.
And because I didn't know what to expect. Also, I didn't know what to expect. So I went by curiosity, but my curiosity turned into something that it was like the gate of a resolution to all the problem that it was like the door opened for me to enter the gate of success.
Wonderful.
Yes, the gate of success, because she scheduled me for 10 sessions. In 5 sessions, my business issue were resolved. And it's at that point that I say every question that she was asking me, the way that she was conducting the coaching, made me think, oh, this is what you already doing, but you don't have the name on that. So everything that you have been doing with your staff in Cameroon is called coaching, because I'm based in the United States, but I'm the one managing the project in Cameroon with the staff that are there. And I get to meet with them and I coach them. But I didn't know that it's called coaching.
Yeah. You were doing it naturally.
Naturally. Right? And the program in Cameroon is very successful. I'm not there, but it's very successful despite the financial struggle that we go through. Everything that we're doing is working. So it's at that point that I say, let me see what I can do. I will go and train at least to understand the coaching techniques, at least to understand, at least to even have the certificate. Because if you say to people that you have certificate, they believe you. So, I went to train to become a coach. It's during this coaching training that I was experimenting with the techniques of coaching in my own relationship. I started experimenting with those techniques in my own relationship, applying to my relationship, and it started working. And I started finding solution, and I started breathing. And by the time that I finished my training in a year and almost 3 months, my relationship was out of the door. The bickering, the argument, I was laying in bed with my husband and fair miles apart. All of that were gone. In no time, they were gone. We were back to hugging, something that we didn't do for years.
Yes.
We were back to hugging, to talking without yelling, to sit down and have a just chat with my husband. And I said, wow, so this is what I was missing. And I said to myself, so now, how come nobody told me that coaching could help me solve this problem, my relationship issue? How come there is nobody out there talking about this? Mm-hmm. That's how I became a coach. And I started coaching other people, because I discovered during my experimentation session that the problem that I had with my husband was that we didn't understand each other. That was it. Because we have a different way of communicating.
Yes.
So I set myself up to study that more and digging more. And I came up with six ingredients. So I manufactured my own recipe and came up with six ingredients that I use with my client now to help my client, just not just patching the problem, but eradicating the problem. Yes, that's how I became a coach.
Right. Are you able to share the six ingredients, or would it be too lengthy?
No, I can share. It's the first ingredient is your first date.
Yes.
The first date. Because what I found during my own personal, I applied that on my relationship first. While I was applying that, I discovered that the first date is crucial in every relationship. There is one thing that I discovered that my husband said to me when we first met, he said this to me. I heard him, but I didn't give any attention because I didn't listen.
Right.
Because hearing and listening are two different things. You can hear because your ears are open to hear.
Right.
But to listen, you have to put a little bit of effort in it.
Right.
I discovered that I'd heard him, but I didn't listen. And during our marriage, I kept violating that one thing that he said to me that was so important to him. And that's what, that was the source of our difficulty in our marriage. So I said to my client, go back to that first date and examine. I know that I have a client who said, I have been married for 30 years. And I remember that thing that he said to me that was so important. I said, because that thing doesn't leave you. Mm-hmm. You always remember that. You must, you can say 10,000 things in that during that date, but there is one important thing that your partner, you said to your partner and your partner said to you. But if you the one who approached me, I will say, go back and see what your partner said to you. Mm-hmm. Because that's one thing that was so important to them. And they say it to you, because what I discovered is that on the first date, nobody lie. It doesn't matter. You can be a expert liar in your life. Mm-hmm. The first date, you will lie better. You will be the best liar that you are. If you are somebody who is trustworthy or who tells the truth all the time, you will tell the truth, your truth on that day. Mm-hmm. So nobody lie on the first date. They will tell you who they are. They will share with you what they know of themselves. They will share. And we hear that and we in deny. That's mm-hmm. the problem. We hear, but we in deny. We say, oh, so what? In my case, that's what I did. I said, oh, he said this, but so what? Are we?
Mm-hmm. And do you find that women might say, so what? I can change him?
That's the problem.
There's a problem.
That's the problem. That's the bigger problem. Yes. Because we say, oh, when I marry him, when I get him, because the first date is the courtship, right? You want to, mm-hmm. you want to prove to them that, you don't want to argue anything. Nobody no. wants to argue on the first date. Nobody. Mm-hmm. So, but you say, oh, over time, he will get over it. Oh, over time he will get over it. Or over time she will get over it. She will forget it.
Yes.
But nobody forget about that. No. Because it's the truth. They open their heart. To open your heart to somebody, you have to trust that person. You know? So, and that's what you do on the first date. You come with your trust in that person, because although you don't know that person, for that person to accept to come to the date with you, it's already a sign of respect to you. Mm-hmm. And I start with that. And the second ingredient is commit to authenticity. How honest are you? Because to really be overcome that difficulty that you created with violating that important point that your partner said to you, you have to commit to authenticity. How honest are you? How honest will you be able to go back to to your partner and say to the partner that, oh, you said this to me this day, and mm-hmm. this is what I made of it. Mm-hmm. We'll be able to do that. So we work I work with my client mm-hmm. on that point, commit to authenticity.
Right. And what's and the third one?
Mm-hmm. The third one is writing a letter of forgiveness.
Are you forgiving?
You have to write the letter of forgiveness, starting with yourself. Forgiving yourself first.
Right.
And then you can forgive anyone else. You can pick anyone that you... It's a process. It's a process that I'll help my client go through, and they have to write a letter of forgiveness that they can... It can be their partner. It can be whoever they want to pick, mm-hmm. to forgive, to write that letter to. And the letter is not necessary to give to somebody. The letter is the process that you go through, because I have the program... relationship rescue course that I'm going to launch soon. I have been working in private with my client, but I'm going to launch that for everybody to get in. Mm-hmm. You have to, when you do go through that process with me, it's for you. It's for your well-being. Because writing this letter of forgiveness, you awaken your body, your heart, and your mind.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. By writing that letter of forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Because people tend to say, I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry is like, it's not, it's completely different from forgive me. Forgive me.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
And writing the letter is not, you can add for my, personally, in my case, I wrote the letter to my husband. And I gave him the letter. It has been 5 years. We have never discussed it. We didn't discuss it. So I don't know if he read it. I don't know. I'm sure that he read it. You know,
I'm sure that he read it because your relationship improved, right?
That letter was the gate of heaven.
Yes.
The gate of heaven.
Right.
The gate of heaven. Writing the letter, it walks you through. You have to examine your entire life by writing the letter. Mm-hmm. I have a client who said to me, who went on rampage of forgiveness. She came back and she said to me, I have asked forgiveness to everybody, even at work. I was hurting my my colleague, and I didn't mm-hmm. know. It's through your program that I noticed that I was hurting my colleague at work. I went and I asked for forgiveness to everybody.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you elevate a person's consciousness when you say you need to write a letter to yourself of forgiveness and then to your husband or your spouse or whoever it is.
Oh, whoever, yes.
Yeah, and then it makes a person feel so good that they just keep it going. I mean, what a blessing you are. What is the fifth one?
The fifth one is, this was the third one. The fourth one is trusting your gut.
Oh.
Yes, okay. Trusting your gut. You see, my program is to walk you through yourself, is to get you to really think of who you are,
uh-huh.
not just running to people to ask for a solution. We all have those solutions in ourselves.
Yeah,
we have the solution.
Yes,
but what I'm doing here is really to awaken you, the person that you are, so you can live your life to the fullest. Uh-huh. So by trusting your God, we examine that, trusting your God. What is your relationship with your God? Because that little voice inside you, that tells you, don't do this or do that. How do you trust that? What type of relationship do you have with your God, with your instinct, you know? So I get to walk my client through that and show them what to do to really master and recognize that little voice at the moment that they need to. So mm-hmm. I get to walk them through that. And the fifth one is separating yourself.
Separating yourself?
Yes, separating yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It means that at some point in the relationship, you feel so tired because you keep giving, that you're so exhausted. And you start complaining. So when you start complaining in the relationship, it's time for you to put your foot on the brake.
Oh.
Yes, it's time for you to put your foot on the brake. You know that when grown up, we usually ask people to, we're going to go to therapy or whatever, but we don't ask, turn to our relative or somebody near to us and say, help us. Because that's why we complain. and complain for grown-up is a cry for help. So if you hear somebody starting complaining next to you, it's time for them to put their foot on the brake and take care of themselves.
Okay. Wow.
So I work my client through that process so they can understand themselves and know when to stop. And the last one that is like a fun one, because you already did all the work and this time is just the fun one to conclude, is relationship season. Many of my clients say, oh, relationship season? What are you talking about? Yes. Relationship have their own four seasons, like the spring, the summer, the fall, and the winter.
Yes, that's right.
Yes, and every person has to go through that process and get to identify what their season are, because my relationship season and the people say the happiness season or the courtship season, whatever, I have a process that I work my client through, and they get to mark their own season. Somebody will say my happiness season is during the, usually even the literature will tell you it's summer. It's not true for everybody.
No.
For me, for example, the season that I get to have a better happy relationship with my husband is during the winter. During the winter, we do a lot of stuff together. I don't know why, but we get closer during the winter more than the summer, you know? So it depends on how you define your happiness. So that's individual. It's not one size fit all. No.
No, of course not. No. Mm-hmm. Right.
So that's what those are the stuff.
Well, that was wonderful. And they're fun. And it's so enlightening to hear those six steps. You're listening to The Rhonda Grant Show right now, whose podcast has been treated with digital audio health by my sponsor, Symetrex. And today we are speaking with Jacqueline Tuyusi Odeje.
Jacqueline Tuyusi Odeje.
There we go. Thank you very much, Jacqueline. What extraordinary discoveries have you found in your life? Well, I guess one. What extraordinary discovery have you found in your life?
The one thing that I discovered in my life is that I'm a people person. I'm a people person. I shine when I'm dealing with people, when I'm helping people resolve their problem. And it's not an accident, because my name, Tuyusi, in my vernacular, my parent name is Tuyusi. Yeah. It wasn't by mistake. Tuyusi means problem solver. So
there you go.
Yeah, problem solver, because my parents created a survivor to me. I was born in war, and the independence war in Cameroon. And my parents were hiding in the forest. And they created a survivor to me, because they said that during they have to move from in the forest, they have to move constantly. And so they didn't have food to eat. But every time that they move and they relocated to one location, to one place, they will find this animal called a pangolin. And that was what helped them survive in the forest. And they were pregnant with me while they were running. So their name is Tuyusi as a result. And ever since, I have been solving problems. So
Wonderful.
And I discovered that I excel in my life. I feel happy. And when I'm I'm helping people. So when everything that I'm doing here, whether it's in a nonprofit, whether I'm talking to somebody or coaching to me, I can be sick. But when I get in front of my client to coach them, I forget about everything that is around me.
Yes, good for you. Do you feel that you've been called then to your journey?
It's my calling. It's my calling to serve. Yeah. My calling is to serve. Yes. And my goal is to be able to help at least 1,000 individual or couple create harmony in the life and return intimacy and peace to the relationship, whether personal or professional, by 2025.
Nice. That's my goal. What a wonderful goal. How may people reach you? How may they contact you?
My website is jalifecoaching.com. People can contact me there. There is my phone number there, or my email address, or they can subscribe, because there is a subscribe to my newsletter, or they can check me out on LinkedIn or Facebook, Jacqueline Odige on Facebook, mm-hmm. or LinkedIn or Instagram, Jacqueline Odige. So you check me out on Facebook or LinkedIn or Instagram, you will find me there.
Yes, and we will post your website in the show notes, okay? So that people may have that right there.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. I would like to talk to people, because before I even start any program, I have to meet the client so we can chat a little, so I can understand if I'm the right person for them, if mm-hmm. my program is right for them, because I don't want people to come in and be disappointed. So I don't just take the client. I have to go through that interview, like not interview, but
the initial chat with them. And don't you find it wonderful that Zoom has become something that we end up using every day, because the pandemic has forced us into meeting with people and discussing things with people, but it's really opened up everything that we do on a global market, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Zoom is a blessing to my business, because I'm meeting people. I have a client all over. I have client in Europe. I have client in Canada. I have client in the US. Yeah. I have client in Africa. So it's almost everywhere now. Everybody can reach me, and this has been a blessing for me.
Oh yes, absolutely.
This has been a blessing.
Yeah, thank you so much for spending your time with us and letting our audience know about what you do. And your genuineness is just beautiful. I so enjoyed our chat previous to the show, and I've really enjoyed our interview. So thank you so much for spending your time with us today.
Thank you so much for having me and letting me share my message with other people. And I'm waiting for them to show up and put your relationship on the best place that you can with me. I'm available for you.
Oh, yes, they'll be in good hands for sure. I've learned a lot in our time together. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Joe. This is wonderful.
Theme song for The Rhonda Grant Show is Sun on the Water, composed and performed by my friend John Park Wheeler. This is Rhonda Grant with The Rhonda Grant Show, author of Magical Forces Within, Extraordinary Discoveries in an Ordinary Life, inviting you to look for the magical forces within yourself today and every day.
Thanks for tuning in to The Rhonda Grant Show with your host, Rhonda Grant. If you would like to find out more information about Rhonda and her upcoming guests and the work that she does, go to her website, rhondagrantauthor.com. That's rhondagrantauthor.com.
Digital Audio Health by Cymatrax.